We are blessed every year with all the wonderful preachers and all of you who are here this year, and you're so very thankful. And for many, many years, Brother Don Harrell started off camp meetings for me. I think one time we counted about 38 years, just about. He'd been with me in camp meetings. Several years ago, I met a friend who has been a real blessing in my heart and life, and Brother Tom Wagner could say the same thing. He loves God with all of his heart. Dr. Bobby Carden has been preaching 61 years this coming June the 15th. You're right ready to celebrate 61 years of preaching with him. He's been where he's at now, 30-something years in that same church. And his dear wife, Peggy, who went home with the Lord just a short time ago, they were married 63 years and 10 months. Will you help me make welcome from Bladenboro, North Carolina, Dr. Bobby Carden?
Fine.
Praise God. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Billy. And Brother Billy is one of my heroes. He's a preacher's preacher. There are a lot of preachers, but there are few preacher's preachers. And I appreciate him, appreciate this church, and I look forward to it every year, coming being with you. And I want to be a blessing to you tonight, and I pray that you'll pray as I preach. And glad to see Brother Tom, too. Amen. Turn your Bible tonight to the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 11. The Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 11 in your Bible. We're going to begin reading with verse 22, read down through 26. This is talking about the prayer of faith. I noticed tonight our song leader and then Brother Billy were talking about people who have passed away and different things, different problems, and God laid this on my heart. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will they your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Let's bow as we pray. Father, we're so thankful tonight for the opportunity to be able to be here with Brother Billy and these people, these preachers. And I just pray, Lord, tonight that the Holy Spirit would move in a special way. The entrance of your word gives us light and understanding. I pray for that tonight. I pray for that anointing. I pray if there are those in our midst that do not know Christ as personal Savior, that tonight the Holy Ghost would arrest them, they plead guilty and come to Christ. I pray every Christian might be drawn closer to you, and I pray the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, might be acceptable in my sight. Oh Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to speak to you tonight about God is bigger than your mountain. God is bigger than your mountain. Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say that whosoever shall say to this mountain, now you got to learn to speak to your mountain. Everybody in this building tonight probably has mountains, maybe different kinds, but we all have mountains. We need to learn to speak to the mountain. That's what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, shall not doubt in his heart, that he shall believe that these things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now the first mountain that's got to be moved to get our prayers answered is that mountain of unbelief in our own hearts. That's the first mountain. You know, people, we talk about believing God, and then when it comes down to it, do we really believe God? He said here, speak to the mountain. He said, verily I say to you that whosoever shall say this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. And be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say to you, what things ever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. When you stand, pray and forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, there's one thing that will stop your prayers from being answered tonight. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We need to make sure that there's nothing between us and our Savior tonight. And then we can claim His promises. And then if we'll have faith in our heart and we'll believe and speak to our mountains, then things are going to happen. Have faith in God, for verse 8, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I want you to do something with me tonight. Say, God is bigger than my mountain. Will you do that? God is bigger than my mountain. One more time. God is bigger than my mountain. Every one of you has some kind of mountains we're facing tonight. But God is bigger. God is bigger than your mountain. And when I say that, God is bigger than anything you face. In Job chapter 14, verse 1, it said, man is born a woman is few days and full of trouble. The last verse says, his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within shall mourn. We're going to have trouble. Paul said we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? God is bigger than anything you face. In Job chapter 5, verse 7, it said, man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. Some of you old fellows used to use the axe. You know what that means. Amen? And man is born of woman is a few days full of trouble. And when I look at all this, God is bigger than anything that you face. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, he's the Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, that we might be able to comfort them in any trouble by the comfort we ourselves, the comfort of God. Amen? God's letting some of you go through troubles and trials right now. Not because you're not right with God, because God's preparing you to help somebody else. Amen? He's the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, that we might comfort them in any trouble by the comfort of who we are, since the comfort of God. God is bigger than anything you face tonight. He's bigger than all your troubles. All your troubles. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. The Bible has a lot to say about trouble. But I tell you, God is bigger than your troubles. Amen. He's bigger than your mountain tonight. And then not only that, God is bigger than all your fears. When I say God is bigger than all your fears, you know that 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I tell you, we need to memorize that verse. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, John had something to say about that. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We do enshrine the Lord in our heart in such a way that it casts out the fear of this world. Amen. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God is bigger than all your troubles. He's bigger than all your fears. Amen. Perfect love casteth out fear. Amen. Perfect love casteth out fear. And God is bigger than all your problems. Amen. Romans 8:28, we know that all things, not some things, but all things, work together for good to them who love God, to them who call it to its purpose. God's got a purpose in every one of your lives. He's got a purpose in my life. And if we're trying to fulfill God's purpose in our life, regardless of the bad things, or the good things, whatever it is, God's going to work all things together for our good and for His glory, because He said so. Amen. 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 Well, God is bigger than all your troubles, bigger than all your fears, bigger than all your problems. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by supplication and prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Amen. And the peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isaiah 26:3 says, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Amen. We'll keep our mind on the Lord. It'll cast out the fears of this world. God is bigger than anything you face tonight. God is bigger than your mountain. I'm facing a mountain right now physically. They've been wanting to take, I put an aorta in for the last 2 years. And I keep praying that God will deliver me, because I've got heart damage. But anyway, I didn't want to tell you all my problems, but God can solve any problem. Amen. There's no problem God can't solve. Amen. Call unto me, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. I know it's not. God is bigger than all your problems. You know, my wife just recently went to be with the Lord in March, and we were married 66 years, 2 months, Brother Billy, and almost 67. And I watched her in the hospital. I watched her there in the rehab. I watched her in hospice. And she'd lay there, and then she'd open her eyes, and she'd say, "Walk around me, Jesus. Walk around me when I'm praying. Walk around me when I'm dying. Walk around me, Jesus." And she told me a dozen times, she told me a dozen, "I want to go on. I don't want to live like this." And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you, thank God for that. God's bigger. He's bigger than all your problems. He's bigger than all of that. I think of Isaiah chapter 40. Back in 1968, I was trying to be an evangelist. Had five children at home. You folks that try to be evangelists, if God don't call you, but you have, if you stay in business, God has to call you. Amen. Amen. But it was Christmas time, getting close to it. I had a revival in Perry, Florida. And I went down there, and I was concerned about Christmas and everything. And I went down there, and I'll tell you, if you've ever been there, there's a big paper mill down there. And all that scent from that paper mill is there. And I already had a cold, and I preached a whole week. And when they had homecoming there on Sunday, and I left Sunday afternoon, I went home, I stayed in the bed for 3 days. Got a $150 check. Amen. But you know, God's always supplied the needs. Seek ye first his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. God is bigger. He's bigger than all your problems. Anything you face, your troubles, your fears, your problems. And then too, God is bigger than your mistakes. Folks that don't make any mistakes don't do anything. Amen. You're going to make mistakes if you do anything for God. I tell you, we all make mistakes, but God is bigger than all your mistakes. He said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I pray that every morning. Lord, I ain't got enough sense. By the way, you don't either. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. It's amazing. It's amazing. When you pray that and you set out for the Lord, who God will put in your path, things that he'll make happen. Amen. I tell you, God is bigger than all your mistakes. He's bigger than all your mistakes. He's bigger than your bad decisions, too. Peter's an example of that. When I say Peter's an example of that, he made a lot of mistakes. I've made a lot of mistakes in 61 years, the 15th this month, as being a preacher. In fact, I started my own church after I got saved. God called me to preach when I got saved. There was a split in the denomination, and they wouldn't take in sides, and I went and rented a store building, knocked out a wall, got a piano, and I got me a piano player, and got me a radio broadcast to Heart in New John 3:16. Amen. But you know, all you got to do is have a desire to serve God. Amen. He said, "Delight thyself in the Lord, he'll give you desires of your heart." Amen. God is bigger than all your bad decisions. And God is bigger than all your misery, too. He's bigger than all your misery. He's bigger than your financial misery. No doubt, there's probably somebody sitting here tonight. You got a lot of financial misery. You got a mountain. You know, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." All kind of books been wrote about being successful. God gives it to you in one verse. Amen. He said right here, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate there day and night. Thou best observe to do according to all that's written therein. And then shalt thou make with thy prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." If you've got a financial, mountain for tonight, you need to get on this altar, make sure your heart's right with God. Then you need to claim his promise. You need to pray the prayer of faith. Amen. And then you need to put feet on your prayers. God will take care of you. Amen. Amen. God is bigger than all your financial misery. He's bigger than all that. In fact, he said, "My God shall supply all your need." All means all. It means spiritual. It means physical. It means financial. God shall supply all your needs according to the riches and glory of Christ Jesus. God is bigger. He's bigger than all your financial miseries. He's bigger than your physical miseries. You know, Job, to me, is a character I like to study about. In Job chapter 1, it tells us here that he was a man that was perfect. God said he was perfect and upright. And God said, and you know, the devil, I'll tell you, when you really try to serve God, the devil's going to attack you. And the devil came to the Lord, and the Lord said, "You consider my servant Job, how he's a perfect, upright man, and he hates evil and loves good." And you know what the devil said? "Take the hedge away. When you do, he's going to curse you to your face." And then he allowed him to do that. And Satan answered the Lord, said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, he'll curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job in sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. He took him a potsherd and scraped himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Now, when you think about it, if you'd have been in her shoes, you may have done the same thing she did. She knew that Job was a just man. She knew he was a good man. And all these things have happened to him, him serving God. And she told him to curse God and die. He said, "Naked came out of mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this did Job not sin. God charged God foolishly. And he said, he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil?" And all this did not Job sin with his lips. When I look at this, God is bigger than your physical misery. Amen. The psalmist knew that. The psalmist praised the Lord. He talked to himself. Everybody talks to himself, not crazy. He said, "Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who crowns thee with loving kindness, and mercy, even in reason I use to the eagles." You look at this 86-year-old man now, and God has touched me so many times. He'll touch you tonight. If you get straightened out with God and nothing but you and him get on this altar, you can claim what God told us tonight. He said, "Speak to your mountain." He said, "These things, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them." Get that mountain of unbelief out of your heart and believe what God says. Amen. God is bigger than, he's bigger than your physical miseries. He's bigger than that. In Job chapter 7 and verse 5, there's a verse here that really stands out to me. I read it and read it and read it real over and over. He said here, "My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. I believe the maggots were crawling through his body." He said here, "My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome." I'll tell you, God was bigger than what he had. Amen. God was bigger. And by the way, that wife that told him to curse God and die, in the latter end, she had 10 more children. That was God's punishment for her. Amen. 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 God give her 10 more. Amen. But when I look at God, God is bigger. He's bigger than your physical miseries. He's bigger than your diseases. He forgives all of our iniquities, heals our diseases. Thank God for that. And I'll tell you, I went through heart surgery in 1991, triple bypass at the VA hospital in Durham, and they told my wife and children the backside of my heart was dead. Part of it was dead. And then, I was back in the pulpit in 3 weeks. And I've been preaching ever since. Amen. You know why? Because he's a great physician. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. You know, sometimes he just lets us go through things you don't understand them. He's letting you go through them so that you can be a servant to him. I think of that scripture. He's the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, that we might comfort them in any trouble. By the comfort we ourselves are comforted of God. When God's comforted us, we can comfort others. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, we need to move some mountains tonight. Move some mountains. And then, too, God is bigger than that mountain of pity. Oh, I'll tell you, that gets some preachers sometimes, don't it? God is bigger than that mountain of pity. If you'll turn to 2 Kings, I want to read this to you. In the book of Kings, what happened to Elijah. Now, Elijah is one of the greatest men in the Bible. I mean, he went to heaven on the fiery chariot. I mean, he stood out there and had 450 heads cut off that day. He prayed fire down from heaven. He shut the heavens for 3.5 years. Then he opened the heavens up again. But you know what he did? It said Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel, son of messenger Elijah, said, so I let the gods do to me, and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness, and came to sit down on a juniper tree, and he requested to himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take me away. Take away my life from me, for I'm not better than paupers. And when I look at this, God is bigger. He's bigger than your mountain. He's bigger than your mountain of pity. Amen. He's not only bigger than your mountain of pain, he's bigger than your mountain of pity. When I look at Elijah there, oh, what a great man. He got right with God. God fed him one meal and made him a 40-day journey in one meal. I tell you, that's something, amen. And we preachers, we ought to realize that we need to pray and get a hold of God when we preach the Word of God and give folks enough to keep them till next Sunday, too. Amen. 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 Man does not live a bit alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God is bigger than all this. He's bigger than all your mountains. He's bigger than that mountain of pity. And then, too, he's bigger than that mountain of whatever yours is. Because the Bible said, for with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. For with God, nothing is impossible. Do you have a mountain tonight that seems impossible to you? You know, I think of a great man. His name was David. David sinned. He looked. He lusted. He took. He was guilty of adultery, guilty of murder. All those things. But you know what? After Nathan gave him the message, God got a hold of his heart. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit. Take me out not always from my presence. Now, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He was talking about Ichabod, the glory of the Lord, departing from what he's talking about. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Take not thy spirit, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. And then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted to thee. You get right with God and you get folks saved. Amen. I don't care. I know in 60 years or more that I preached to murderers, and I pray that some of them got saved. And I know that you might be here tonight and you say there's no hope for me. But I'll tell you one thing. If the goodness of God leads to repentance, and when God deals with your heart, if you'll confess your sins, you'll get right with God. God will forgive you and God will use you. Amen. God will use you. Amen. When I look at this, God is bigger. I tell you, that mountain that seems impossible, if mountain of sin. The Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Hebrews 9:26 said, once into the world he came to appear to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. If you've got a mountain of sin tonight, you can take care of it right here on this altar. Amen. You can take care of it right here tonight. That mountain of sin, God can wash it all away. And then not only the mountain of sin that way, but a mountain of sickness. You know, it says, any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church, pray the prayer of faith, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. They've committed sins to be forgiven them. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for the other, that you may be healed. Hey, the effects of fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, if we get our heart right with God, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Amen. Well, look at this. Do you have a mountain of trouble tonight? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Tonight, when I heard the song leader talking about different ones having troubles and problems, and Brother Billy, I'm glad, thank God, we know where to go. My wife, she read every night, Psalm 121. I lift mine eyes to the hills, and come to my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He'll not suffer thy foot to be moved. I got it laying beside my lamp at night. I look at it and read it again myself. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, you gonna get married again? She'd beat me up when I got up there. I tell you, amen. She's the best woman I ever known. Amen. Gave me 6 children, sacrificed. I never did get through telling you about that Isaiah chapter 41. I'm gonna get that before I close, though, Brother Billy. Isaiah chapter 41. That Christmas, what she did. I'm gonna read that scripture to you. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. I had wanted a wide margin Bible. I like to put notes in my Bible. And of course, everything was, I don't know where she got the money, how she saved it, how she got it. But Christmas, she gave me that Bible, wide margin Bible. And she put it in there from Peggy the children. And here's the verse. It says here, "Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And you know, I got a study on that, and I made me a little sermon outline. This is my verse that was given me in such a time of a great crisis in my life, 1968. You know, it's Sunday, it says, "Fear thou not." The 366 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day and one for leap year. Amen. Amen. And it says here, "Fear thou not." Well, the Bible said God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And it says, Monday, for I am with thee. Well, he said he'd never leave you. He'd never forsake you. He said, "I'm with thee." And Tuesday, he said, "Be not dismayed." Or, "Don't be discouraged." You know, Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." And then Thursday, "For I am thy God." Amen. God is thy refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And then he says, "For I am thy God." And then Thursday, he said, "I will strengthen thee." Amen. Thank God. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." And then Friday, he said, "Yea, I will help thee. I lift mine eyes to the hills, which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He'll not suffer thy foot to slip." And then the last thing, Saturday, "I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You read Romans chapter 8, begin with verse 35. There's nothing that's able to separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Life or death or principalities, whatever it might be. You know, I've got more to go to heaven for now than I've had before. My daughter, she married a Bob Jones boy, and he was a preacher. She died back in the 70s. She's there. And now my wife's up there. My son died in January after fighting cancer and so forth. But you know, Psalms 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord." I pulled a sheet up over her bed at Duke Medical Center. I thank God for her life. I went out to my church. I was fasting in Durham then, out in the county. And I went out there, and more people in the parsonage than there was at the church. I said, "Folks, it's church time." We went out to church. I preached on Psalms 116, verse 15. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And my boy will only be with the Lord in January. I preached, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And my church that morning after my wife passed away, I preached, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Thank God Christians never see each other for the last time. Amen. I want to challenge you tonight, Billy, if you'll permit me. Yes, I'd like for everybody to stand. And I want you to bring those problems. I want you to bring those troubles. I want you to just slip out and come to this altar tonight. Just slip out and come. And let's defeat the devil tonight. He said that we could have what these things whatsoever we desire when we pray, to believe we receive them, and we could have them. Amen. He said, "Speak to the mountain." Yeah, that mountain you've got, speak to it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother Billy, would you take the service?